Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January the 12th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by our founding fathers. One of the great peaceful solutions we still have at our fingertips. Checks and balances, baby, that's where it's at. We also reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. A quick recap of yesterday's broadcast starts now. We talked about the CDC director, Rochelle Walensky. The overwhelming number of deaths, over 75%, occurred in people that have at least four or more comorbidities. Wow. So really, these are people that are unwell to begin with. And they've had the audacity to use against us 800,000 deaths over the last 2 years and act like it's a huge, huge deal, locking us down, ruining the economies, forcing vaccinations and experimental extreme measures on all fronts. And we find out that 75%, ladies and gentlemen, even if you do two-thirds, 66%, that's, wow. You look at that and you go, what? 75%, 600 out of 800,000, right? Had four or more comorbidities? You don't even really know how these people died at all then, do you? And even if they died from something, what does that mean? They're lying and they got caught. 2 years later, they're admitting the truth. COVID vaccines do not need to be changed for Omicron at this time, says Fauci. That was December the 15th. Well, I don't know if you know, but Pfizer's developing an Omicron vaccine right now. They say it'll be an Omicron-targeted vaccine in addition to the current vaccine. In fact, they're going to call it a hybrid. Why, if you don't need one, according to Fauci? Private insurers must cover 8 home tests each month, the government says. Now you got the government literally demanding private sector insurance companies pay for certain things. It's insanity. We also talked about, could catching a cold actually be a good thing? Yes, it could. Why? Scientists out of Imperial College in London say maybe so, because with new research suggesting that those who have had a common cold may be offered some protection against a, quote, future bout of COVID. Researchers have long wondered if there's a connection, such an immunity link, if you will, between the cold and the COVID. They wonder if it's possible, because the common cold, believe it or not, is often caused by various coronaviruses. Now, they say, of course, not by the SARS, COVID-19 or COVID-2 coronavirus that causes COVID, but they're really wondering about that in the BBC now. Well, remember, we told you that there was a relationship to the cold, and they mocked us till the cows came home. Oh, no, that these guys are crazy. There's nothing to that. The truth is we were right. They were wrong once again. But, ladies and gentlemen, it gets worse, because you know what? Not only are 75% of the people who have died from COVID, not only do they have four or more comorbidities, super sick people. Now, I'm not saying that it's not important that they died. It's sad. Don't get me wrong. But let's be clear, it's not as we were told is the point, right? Not even close. But in addition to that, now, we don't have a difference between the 800,000 that die, 600,000 of them take off the table because they had four or more comorbidities. Now, you got 200,000 left, right? But out of those 200,000, we don't even know how many went into the hospital because of COVID or how many went into the hospital and ended up just having COVID. Let's say I go into the hospital because I break my leg, as Fauci put it. I test positive for the COCO because it's routine, right? Then they say, hey, I went in there, it's a COVID hospitalization. That's a flat-out lie. I might be completely asymptomatic and not even know I'm sick at all. Oh, well, you're sick, Sam. We tested you, and we're positive. Well, the tests have proven bogus, too. We don't even know if the tests are right. The vaccinated, even though they claim the vaccines are safe and effective and highly protective, they lie on all counts. People with the virus, people with the with and without the vaccines are getting everybody sick. Everybody's getting sick, whether you've been vaccinated or not. The whole thing is an absolute clear fiasco. But when you take the 200,000 that aren't elderly or with four or more comorbidities, the 200,000 left deaths, and then half of those about, they're starting to admit, didn't even really go to the hospital because of COVID at all. So now you got to ask yourself a question. 100,000 people, 150,000 people over 2 years in the hospital because of a disease or an illness? How many of those people went in more than once unnecessarily? I went to the hospital with COVID twice. I didn't stay, but I was there. I checked in. Do I count for two times or one time? The only reason that I went back is because they didn't give me oxygen, portable, and some of the medication that I needed. What I went in for is to get hydrated and to get some medication to help with my lungs. What's up with that? Does that count for twice? Where do we go? See, everything they've told you is a flat-out lie, and they've now admitted it to the point where they've lost credibility, to the point where your government has the biggest credibility crisis you've ever seen in your life. Well, that was hour one. In hour two, we talked about what is devolution. Why is the person behind Q silent? Who is John Harrell, the Patel patriot? Mr. Quote Truth Bomb. He has a website called devolution.link. John falsely claims that Donald Trump has power to deal with acts of war, election fraud, COVID bioweapons, etc. John talks about how Trump moved certain people into certain positions, very powerful positions, and then he also talks about Trump's executive orders, literally concentrating power so that Donald Trump would eventually crank up devolution, which would supposedly be to decentralize power. Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is Congress has power to declare war. Was 1871 the last of the United States? Can we create our own, quote, courts and grand juries? We answered all those questions myself and Sheriff Richard Mack on the second hour of Liberty Roundtable Live, which is now simulcast with the Sheriff Mack Show on Brighteon TV. If you want video archives, go to Brighteon.com. If you want audio archives, Liberty Roundtable will do just fine. Nevertheless, we broke all this down. And I'm telling you, this idea that you're a sovereign citizen, this idea that you can set up any grand jury you want to, this idea that Donald Trump's coming back in office after he exposes Joe Biden, this QAnon stuff, this devolution stuff, this 1871, hey, the government ran off the rails, never to be the government again. All these crazy ideas, ladies and gentlemen, I don't need to pay income tax because, I'm not responsible. There's a grain of truth in all these things. I don't need to have a driver's license. I have the God-given right to travel. I don't need a driver's license to freely move about. Okay. There's a grain of truth in every one of these things, ladies and gentlemen. But every one of them will get you in trouble. And every one of them literally, in my mind, smacks of an effort that will not do well. What do you mean by that, Sam, you say? I'm telling you, I don't believe it will go well for the American people if we go down these roads. All it will do is allow government to gain dictatorial power above all of us. Okay, that's all that will happen. Government will decide we're terrorists, and they will go after us. Do not engage in these things, okay? Larry Klayman is one of them. He's basically indicted a ton of people with his grand juries. But the problem is he has no authority to go after anybody. He has no ability to execute an arrest or anything else. Okay, I appreciate these desperate attempts to try to right the country. I think a lot of people genuinely mean well. But I submit to you that you're deceived, whether it's a con, a constitutional convention, or a convention of the states, all the way down to these juries, all the way down, okay? I support fully informed juries, but I do not support these self-appointed grand juries. There's people who all of a sudden just claim they're judges. Okay, these things are folly, folks, and I'm telling you, it'll do nothing but cause trouble. Mark my words. And some would say, oh, Sam, you just work for the deep state. That's why you're debunking all this. You know what? Liars. I don't work for anybody but myself. I've been as outspoken as anybody on the radio, calling it as I see it for 25-plus years using my own dime. I'm not getting paid a ton of money, and I'm not getting anything but the truth shall set us free out of this. I've got children, 8 of them, and grandchildren, and I want to leave the country a better place for them. That, to me, is what this is about. I also don't want the patriots to go astray. I think many of them have incredible good hearts. They mean well, but we've got to help guide them in the right direction. When you engage in these efforts, you are undermining the real work of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. We can't go to a bunch of sheriffs and say, yeah, we created our own grand jury. Yeah, we got this QAnon thing. We don't really know who it is, but it's telling of a Trump takeover and devolution, and sheriffs are just going to turn up their nose and go, you guys are crazy. There's no value there, folks. Making friends with your sheriff, having your friend stand up as a sheriff. He's living under his station now. Absolutely. But if you think the sheriff is a godlike figure and can do everything, you're wrong again. The sheriff has checks and balances just like every other executive branch official in the greatest country on the face of the earth. So I want to talk you down from the ledge of some of these crazy ideas because I love you. When we come back, my guest will help break this down. But the government is absolutely out of control. Headline about that in seconds with the discussion point on your radio.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Larry Pratt. Discussions of all things liberty. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Sam, it's good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Here's the alarming headline to which I alluded to right before the pause. Headline from WorldNet Daily, WND.com. Art Moore wrote the article. Here's the headline. New DOJ domestic terrorist unit targets anti-authority ideologies. Top officials tells Senate, we have seen a growing threat. Let me say this again. New DOJ domestic terrorist unit. They just created a whole new branch, a whole new whatever you want to say, governmental department. They say it targets anti-authority ideologies. Top officials tell Senate, quote, we have seen a growing threat. Art Moore writes the article. Now, here's the details, and then we'll talk about it. At a Senate hearing on Tuesday, titled, quote, domestic terrorism, a threat 1 year after, January the 6th, Assistant Attorney General Matthew Olson explained why he, quote, created a new unit focused on domestic terrorism. We have seen a growing threat from those who are motivated by racial animus, as well as those who ascribe to extreme anti-government, anti-authority ideologies, Olson said. Olson affirmed that the events that occurred January 6th are being investigated as acts of domestic terrorism. Assistant Attorney General Matt Olson, head of the National Security Division, testified on Tuesday. The attack, quote, the events that occurred on January 6th are a domestic terrorist act and being investigated as so. At the hearing, Charles Grassley, Iowa of the hearing, pointed out that 75% of domestic terrorism cases comes from anarchist extremism, which is the code words government's using now for Antifa. The hearing came after Attorney General Merrick Garland declared on the one-year anniversary of January the 6th that, hey, he's going to take action, go after the perpetrators. The actions we have taken this far will not be our last. We're going to hunt down these people everywhere. This department is committed to hold everybody accountable. We will follow the facts wherever they lead, lies Garland. The Department of Homeland Security issued a memo on January the 6th. Anyway, it goes on and on and on. It's a huge article. But here's the deal. This Homeland Security is now being used against we, the people, as they create a domestic division. Republicans were the ones, Larry Pratt, if I remember right, that kicked off Homeland Security in the first place, right?
They were, Sam, and there were those of us that had some concerns about that, that once you've established something of that sort, it could be directed against the very people that set it up. When I hear this talk coming from the current administration about the threats to established authority, I think of Republican voters. They're likely to vote against Joe Biden and more ahead of the next presidential election against his party in the Congress. And that's what they're concerned about. I think we need to translate into common English what these people are really concerned about. They're not worried about a bunch of right-wing literal bomb throwers. They're worried about a bunch of conservative voters, a bunch of Republican voters that are going to send them on their way in the next election.
It's very scary, though. Literally, you now have a situation where how do you create a new domestic terrorism unit all by yourself? This guy created it. Where's the lawmaking body? Where's the checks and balances that make America great here? I think people should be arrested for even thinking about creating such an organization without the legislative approval, without appropriate funding to make sure that it's legitimized. Now, I don't think Congress really even has the authority to create such an entity in the first place. There's limits to even the legislative-making body, not to mention being needed to be signed by the executive branch. None of that's happened here, sir. These guys are the terrorists. You can't do that.
You can't do that, but they're so used in Washington to, I was going to say making laws, pretend laws, we could say perhaps, acting without any constitutional or even legislative authority. Folks, Obama was kind of famous for saying that, oh, the Congress won't go along? Well, I've got a telephone and I've got a pen, meaning he could call somebody in the federal bureaucracy and say, this is the president, I want you to do this, do it. And he would also be able to, with his pen, issue an executive order. And increasingly in our time, in the last many years, those executive orders have become substitutes for duly enacted laws, assuming that those laws did have constitutional authority.
But shouldn't we literally be hauling people off to the clink over this, though? You just can't blatantly thumb your nose at the checks and balances. The government derives its just power from the consent of the governed. Constitutionally speaking, the supreme law here is that we gave certain authority to Congress. That's the legislative authority between the House and the Senate with a check and balance built right in. And then the final check would be the executive branch having to sign off on it as well. They're doing none of those things. They're literally acting as flat-out criminal agents.
They're acting as tyrants, not bothering to go through any of the constitutional procedures to have any kind of governmental action be legitimate. They're not worried about that. They think that having won the election, it's a blank check to do anything they want. In part, I think they're somewhat ignorant of the Constitution because it's not something that many schools teach, not as many as should. But at the end of the day, they don't care. And when they talk about domestic terrorists, let's not forget, some of this lingo started in Loudoun County, Virginia, which is a kind of an exurb of Washington, D.C. And in that county, parents were objecting to some of the really creepy curriculum that was being propounded and actually was being woven into everything that was being taught to their kids. And when they objected to that at school board meetings, and they didn't come in saying that they were going to meet the school board members out in the parking lot, they just challenged their authority. They challenged the ideas that were behind what these school board members were doing, the critical race theory and things of that sort. And for that, they were viewed by, in memos that we now have from the Justice Department, they were viewed as domestic terrorists. So that's how we should be translating that kind of lingo when it comes from the Biden administration.
Now, it's getting worse, in my opinion, too, because not only are they violating the law, creating this new quote, DOJ, I don't know what you call it, a domestic terrorist unit is what they're calling it, but they literally created this, and the idea is they say they target anti-authority ideologies. Now, I don't know what a anti-authority ideology is. Let me give you an example. When a parent goes down to the school board meeting and says, hey, man, I don't want you teaching my kids about perverted sex stuff.
Yep.
Is that anti-authority? You know, if the parent says, hey, I don't want to teach critical race theory. I don't want to teach that every interaction should be dealt with from a racial lens. You know what? I want to judge people on the content of their character instead. Hey, is that questioning authority? What is an anti-authority ideology? Is it that parents have authority over children, not government? So we would say, hey, government, you don't have authority over my kid. Is that anti-authority discussions? Now, here's the deal. Biden's education secretary, it turns out that he allegedly was the one that requested the domestic terrorism letter from school board's group, ladies and gentlemen. This is serious, man. The article's written by Bill Pan. And here's the deal. Newly surfaced emails suggest that the U.S. Department of Education might have played a more important role than previously thought in the creation of a highly controversial letter which likened concerned parents to domestic terrorists. The letter, it was a PDF sent to Joe Biden on September the 29th, 2021, dealt with the National School Board discussion. It was the association there, and they characterized domestic discussions or meetings at school board as domestic terrorism, ladies and gentlemen. Not only that, they call it a hate crime to speak out so boldly in defense of your children. We'll talk about it more.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Omicron variant is continuing an unprecedented surge across the United States. That's what CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky told senators today. She added it's highly contagious and rapidly evolving. President Biden, back in Washington, D.C., after spending some time in the Peach State, the president talking voting and sharply criticizing former President Donald Trump because he doubted the results of the 2020 election.
He didn't say count the votes. He said find votes that he needed to win. He failed because of the courageous officials, Democrats, Republicans.
Not attending that speech in Atlanta, Georgia on Tuesday, former gubernatorial candidate in Georgia, Stacey Abrams, who herself doubted election results in Georgia. USA Radio News.
You need an accurate thermometer to check for fever, a potential sign of flu or COVID. Be vigilant and contact your medical provider at the first sign of fever. Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate in more than 100 clinical studies. Exergen Temporal Scanners are available at Walmart and other fine retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com. That's Exergen.com. Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
Mike Lindell, the veteran CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to listeners. You can get great discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com. Click on the Radio Listener Special. Deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Buy One, Get One Free special on Giza Dream Sheets. All MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. Call 1-800-951-8175 or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the Radio Listener Special. Use my promo code USA.
Schools in session once again in Chicago.
As many experts claim the lockdowns are hurting our children's mental health, a proposal for Chicago Public Schools to resume in-person classes Wednesday has been approved by the Chicago Teachers Union House of Delegates. That followed a lot of bickering during the week-long standoff. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
The city of New Orleans is reinstating a mask mandate just weeks before the start of Mardi Gras as a way of stopping a surge in COVID-19 cases. Health Director Jennifer Avenjo saying hospitalizations have risen by a factor of 7.
There are no beds. If you go to an emergency department right now, expect to wait 6, 10, 12 hours to be seen just to get back to the emergency department.
A city spokesman saying on Tuesday that the action is needed to allow parades to roll through the famed French Quarter. USA Radio News.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. The Secretary of Education under Joe Biden. Yeah, out of control. Education Secretary Miguel Cardona allegedly requested the domestic terrorism letter from school boards. The Epic Times. Newly surfaced emails suggest the Education Department was a lot more involved than we thought. The organization also urged the federal government to, quote, invoke counterterrorism laws to quell angry mobs of parents seeking to hold school officials accountable for all kinds of stuff, masks, sexual perversion, critical race theory, and more. Just 5 days later, though, ladies and gentlemen, on October the 5th, Merrick Garland, Attorney General, issued a memo directing federal law enforcement to help address an alleged disturbing spike in harassment, intimidation, and threats of violence against teachers and school leaders by parents. Now, here's the deal. The memo still remains in effect. Ladies and gentlemen, this is out of control. So what we've got going on here is, on one hand, the school boards were so tied in with the government, the Justice Department, the Education Department, and the Justice Department virtually in bed together, and these teachers' unions and everything else, the second parents started demanding accountability, they went ballistic and ran straight to the federal government, to flat-out Biden's education secretary, flat-out to the attorney general, and said, hey, parents are getting out of control. Let's use domestic terrorism laws against them. And Biden's whacked out education secretary, Miguel Cardona, basically said, okay. And Merrick Garland said, okay. And now newly surfaced emails double down and document this. Larry Pratt, they have literally gone so far off the reservation here. I know that's a weird term to use, but they have gone so far away from the rule of law. And then they got caught. They apologized for the letter. They retracted the letter. But the Merrick Garland memo still stays in effect. And now we hear the new DOJ domestic terrorism unit targets anti-authority ideologies. This is a battle where they call parents flat out terrorists. And they've got the very top brass of the government quadrupling down on this, Larry.
This is something that I've found over the years to be part of the way the liberal mind works. And if you disagree with them, you're a bad person. The typical conservative, when he finds that somebody doesn't agree with him, says, well, you know, let's lay it out on the table and see what you're missing, see what I'm missing. And try to go at something like that in a fairly rational fashion. But the liberal looks at anybody with whom he is disagreeing as a bad person, as a, in this case, the language is domestic terrorist. I saw a number of the videos of the people that went to the Loudoun County, Virginia school board meeting where they were called domestic terrorists. Yes, they were upset, but they weren't throwing things. They were simply saying, I don't like what you're teaching my kids. There's sexual perversion. There's historical inaccuracies. These are not things that should be taught to the kids. And one of the things that we almost have to laugh, probably none of these things would have come to light had it not been for this overreaction to COVID when they shut things down for a prolonged period of time. And parents then had a chance to look at what teachers in the classroom were actually teaching their kids because it was coming in over the computer at home where the kids were learning, quote unquote, virtually. And a lot of parents said, I can't believe this is what they're teaching. And I think a lot of this is the unintended benefit of COVID. Which did its amount of damage, but one of the really big advantages to come out of COVID is parents and students were at home together looking over the shoulder, if you will, of the teacher in the classroom, and the teachers are absolutely going crazy. It's cramping their style. Indeed it is.
This is very serious indeed, ladies and gentlemen, though, and I agree with Larry that, you know what, because of the COVID, we probably found out about this where we might not have as well. But really, when the literal local school board is in bed with the Justice Department, in bed with the FBI, in bed with the Education Secretary and the Justice Department through Merrick Garland, et cetera, and now they created a new domestic terrorist unit, and now that they're keeping Merrick Garland's memo in place, you kind of start to say, wait a minute here. We used to think that the local was going to save us from the federal, that we got just got to work locally. Now we're finding out the locals are ready to bring in literally armed to the teeth federal law enforcement folks in the Education Department, in the Justice Department, in the FBI, literally against concerned parents. There's only one choice, ladies and gentlemen. That's to take ultimate authority and take your kids out of the government school and say, you guys have challenged my authority long enough.
Sam, I think part of this problem is that the local schools are dependent upon huge amounts of money being doled out by the federal government, by the education bureaucracy. And therefore, that has had a clear result and pushing things in the direction that they want to go, so that maybe they didn't even really think there was going to be any pushback to calling people domestic terrorists that they disagreed with because, well, everybody thinks that way, don't they? Everybody they know thinks that way. Anyway, and now it's blown up in their face, and they really don't know what to do about it.
Wow, I don't really know how to deal with this, Larry Pratt, except for it's getting worse. Now I get an email from Gun Owners of America. Gunowners.org is the website. Here's the headline. When you think about creating a domestic terrorism department to go after parents who care about their school kids or any ideology they disagree with, because what they call it is anti-authority ideology, etc. But here's the deal. Gun Owners of America has now obtained internal ATF documents that suggest the Biden-Harris administration is secretly establishing a national gun registry. Gunowners.org for more information. Now you're going to basically have this tied to domestic terrorists and parents. And, you know, Steve was a parent down there, and he was getting kind of agitated. And by golly, Steve has a bunch of guns that are registered under his name, Larry. And where does this go?
Well, that's right. And obviously, they have the idea that if somebody has a gun, for sure, and certainly if that person has more than one gun, well, who would have more than one gun but a domestic terrorist? This is giving us a view now into the mind of too many liberals who think this way, who are not willing to have a discussion about an issue, about what does the Constitution require? What does it mean? That kind of a rational approach is not something they have been trained to do, because increasingly in our colleges, people that are in these curricula for teaching and for many of the liberal arts, even when I was studying political science back in the last century, way back in the last century, I could see this kind of thing. It wasn't nearly as big and pervasive and cancerous as it is now, but it was clearly beginning. Even at that time, it wasn't that noticeable. It wasn't that willing to, in most cases, challenge the constitutional orthodoxy of America, whereas now the constitutional rules of the game are something that is to be despised. It's deplorable. We've just got to do away with it. Anybody that is defending the constitutional order is a, if you'll pardon the expression, a domestic terrorist.
Here's the question. Where do we go now? Do we see a massive insurgence of Republicans in 2022 as a result of this overreach? The Republicans are the ones, as I started out the broadcast, they're the ones that created the Homeland Security that now is being used, really, as the core anchor organization to call we the people terrorists, to literally push for these gun registry laws, to literally dive into the Education Department and give it, quote, mojo, arm to the teeth, muscle, etc. And the Republicans created it. If we look to them at 22 as the solution, how's that going to go? In seconds, Larry Pratt responds.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels,
in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Larry Pratt, Sam Bushman discussing this out-of-control new government agency. It's a domestic terrorism division, if you will. Not created by your legislative bodies at all, created by appointed bureaucrats deep in Homeland Security, Justice Department, other organizations, ladies and gentlemen, where they get that kind of, I don't know what you want to call it, pretend authority is concerning and beyond me. But you tie that with this effort by the Attorney General Merrick Garland and the Education Secretary, ladies and gentlemen, Mikel Cardona, and you look at this and you go, they literally doubled down, called parents who want to rein in their teachers and rein in their government schools, literal domestic terrorists. And they literally sicked the Justice Department and federal armed law enforcement agents against parents. And now, Gun Owners of America has obtained documents about they're literally backing into a gun registry. Ladies and gentlemen, fighting back against federal overreach. How's that going to go? You got the Republicans who are supposedly going to be our saviors from all this in the 22-24 election cycle. But the Republicans are the ones that created the Homeland Security, which really enables this whole possibility in the first place. Larry Pratt?
That's very much something that people at Gun Owners of America and in other groups outside the government were warning that you start talking about Homeland Security. Well, you know, that's really in the context they were using that term, that was a function of state and especially local governments. The arrogance of the federal government is that if you ain't from the federal government, you ain't able to do nothing. Well, excuse me, I would say it's almost the opposite. If you're from the federal government, your main talent is to mess everything up that you put your fingers on. And what we see is a federal government that continues to push for policies that in so many cases are counterproductive, but that's not really the guide star that they're following. They are looking for more power so they can have more control. And that's the way they reacted to the COVID virus. It was a way of having control. It was really cool. You could shut down whole towns and all the little businesses in them, driving many of them out of business. But boy, did that ever feel good to have that much power to be able to do something like that. It was not Obama himself, but one of his minions, stroke of the pen, law of the land, kind of cool. And as you point out, Sam, there are all too many Republicans that can have that same point of view. And I think the elections that we're now on the eve of, the most important election in many cases will be the primaries, particularly for Republicans, because it would be from those ranks that might emerge the Congressman Lauren Boebert or Marjorie Taylor Greene or Madison Crawford the guy that's in the wheelchair, or Senator Cotton of Arkansas, and so forth. It's those kinds of folks that we've got to, as voters, be looking for in these primary elections, because that's where, in most cases, our greatest choice and our greatest opportunity to advance freedom is going to be found.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is serious. This is not a joke. And where this goes, I don't know. I agree with Larry that, you know, you've got serious primaries coming up. And it's really advised to understand a Republican is not necessarily your friend. Okay, Kurt Crosby always used to ask, what is a Republican? And boy, howdy, is that spot on questioning. Is it a Republican, someone who obeys the Republican platform? Or is a Republican kind of a rhino? In other words, a Republican in name only. I'll give you an example. My current senator, and it's a shame to admit it, but Mitt Romney. Okay, this guy literally said he is a pro-gun guy. He is part of the NRA, and he's a gun guy. But then when questioned by liberal press about guns, he said, well, we need to remove guns of lethality for sure. Well, every gun is a gun of lethality, ladies and gentlemen, depending on who uses it and how. This guy's a flat-out dishonest liar when he tells you that he's for your right to keep and bear arms. The only gun lobby that's really, in my opinion, 100% true blue is gun owners, telling you the truth on these things. But now gun owners are saying, look, they're looking for a national registry. Republicans like Mitt Romney are just as likely to back that kind of violation of our God-given inalienable rights of self-defense codified by the Second Amendment. They're just as likely in the Republican Party, these swamp monsters, to sell us down the river as anybody else. So you need to be very careful at the primaries is what I'm telling you about what kind of Republican you're putting in office. Are you putting a Mike Lee, who may be far from perfect, but compared to a Mitt Romney, the guy's like, I don't know if I dare compare it to Jesus and Satan. It's not that bad, but I'm telling you, it's just off the charts, the difference between the two. And this is what I mean. We need to, in the primaries, really pay attention to whom will serve us. Who will we give our consent to carry out the proper role of limited constitutional government? Because if we're not very careful here, hey, the same people that created Homeland Security, that's the Republicans. They're the ones that put a bunch of guys on the courts that shut us down when we tried to get rid of health care. They're the ones that keep the pro-death agenda and abortions going on ever since 1973, Roe versus Wade. Republicans have been controlling the courts for a long time. This idea that Republicans are going to save us is absolute poppycock. Now, can there be good, honest, moral Americans that can stand with their oaths of office and truly protect the country? Absolutely. It's our job, my fellow Americans, to find them, to vet them, and to run them, and to back them in the primaries so they're successful. And the swamp monster internal Republicans that are betrayers need to be turned out peacefully, but turned out nevertheless, no consent, if you will. Larry?
Sam, I was just thinking that what you said was spot on, and it was quite measured, and it was hardly a call for terrorism. But yet that is the way these entrenched bureaucrats in both parties, Republican and Democrat, are likely to interpret any call for defeating them and sending them back to Main Street, where they probably, they can make a living, but it's not going to be nearly as opulent as...
Without the revolving door, it's going to be pretty hard for them, though.
Well, that's exactly right. They're afraid of that. And so they're going to resist with everything they can muster. And they're going to call their opponents terrorists. Well, it does terrorize them. You're talking about beating me in the next election, and I'm going to have to go back to Main Street and get an honest job? Come on. That is worse than death. Now, what a terrorist are you?
And they're going to call me a terrorist because, let me see how I put it, anti-authority ideologies. See, that's what they'll claim this is. But here's the reality. I'm the guy that started out the program saying yesterday, me and Richard Mack spent the whole second hour debunking a lot of these off-the-charts extreme views that get people in trouble and that undermine the very proper role of limited government. It's by the consent of the governed. It's by our peaceful checks and balances do we achieve success. But we got to have greater numbers than they. But see, if I call out greater numbers than they see, Sam, now you're calling for a terroristic army. There's no way to win with these dishonest people unless we create accountability and fast, Larry.
And that's, in many cases, that's going to be done in the Republican primary. And it's going to take more work on the part of each one of us because, first of all, the media usually, not always, but usually cannot be relied upon to supply useful information. It's going to be the Democrat, the very liberal Democrat party line that's coming through the media. We're going to have to do our digging. Now, we've got an internet that's available for us, and big tech hasn't quite yet been able to make it do all and only their bidding. And so we can dig out information, and we can still go to a candidate meeting where the candidate opens himself to questions, and we can ask good and pointed questions, and then we need to be able to sift what we're hearing because, you know, a guy like Mitt Romney, and that's a good enough example, if you don't have a dialogue with him, if you just let him say, oh, yeah, I'm pro-gun, I'm pro-Second Amendment, well,
I'm the member of the NRA.
Yeah, there you go. I got me my shotgun there at home, and I go hunting there so often, you know. Well, okay, great. But that's not what the Second Amendment's all about. And if we start talking to the Mitt Romneys of the world, and it's not just Mitt Romney, it's a whole bunch of other folks the same, that the Second Amendment is there to protect the ability of the people to maintain the means to, if the government really gets nasty and becomes tyrannical the way George III did, and that was in their mind.
Wait a minute, like they're doing right now by creating a domestic terrorism department to go after parents that are concerned about schools?
You might say that. That's what that ultimately the Second Amendment is for. If they start arresting parents for going to a school board meeting and speaking out against...
They've already started.
Yeah, they have. And it can get to the point because the founders were not eager to get into a war. And they pointed out in the Declaration of Independence that after a long train of abuses, in other words, they suffered a great deal of tyranny because they didn't want a war. They knew how horrible it would be, the devastation and the destruction and the killing that would occur, especially a civil war. It can be as nasty as anything. So that's what they were trying to avoid. But at least they were able to show that you're the aggressor, oh, King George, or oh, Department of Education. You're the guys that call your opponents terrorists and lawbreakers. Really? We're lawbreakers because we went to a school board meeting and we expressed our concerns about some of the horrible perversions that you're teaching our little kids? Really? That's maybe we need to have a deeper discussion with y'all. Maybe it's time that we just cut your budget out. And sometimes that is the best way to go, Sam, is to just take their money away. None of these characters are working for charity. This is not the Peace Corps. This is a bunch of highly, you know, Fauci's getting $420,000 a year. He's not a volunteer.
I heard that. He ought to be fired. Larry Pratt, thank you so much, sir. We'll have you back soon.
Thanks, Sam. Appreciate you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this terrorism discussion is very serious. When they call the rank and file American a terrorist, your government's out of control. God save the Republic of the United States of America.